Again, welcome to Church of Celebration today. Super glad that you're here. We're in the second week of a new series we started last week called Twisted. And did Ben not do just a tremendous job last week setting up this entire series? Very proud of him and did a great job. Now, let me give you a little bit of a recap if you were unable to be here last week. The big idea of this particular series is this, is that we live in an invisible world. And basically it impacts the visible world around us, all right? So there's this unseen world that affects the seen world. Now, here's the deal. If you believe in God, you're like halfway there, okay? If you believe in heaven, you're halfway to understanding this particular idea. It's the other half that so many people get hung up on, even Bible-believing, God-believing people. This is the part that so many people really get tripped up with and not understanding. It's the other half of the unseen world that is like, that's kind of trippy, it's out there, it's weird. That is this, that there's a real evil, even more so, kind of even more spooky and mystic, that there's a real devil. There's a real devil in this world. So we kind of tended to like ignore that thought, ignore that belief, and like, okay, maybe, I'm not sure. I don't know if I want to go there. That's kind of crazy, you know. The devil that I have in my mind is red, a tail, horns, and a pitchfork, and we'll go there, right? But there really is a devil. And to prove that fact, you don't even really need to go to scriptures, which we will in a minute, but to prove that fact, all you really need is a rearview mirror to look back in your life, and you all have a moment in a time, a night, a weekend in your lives, a trip, a relationship, where you can look back and you could think things like this: how could I have ever been so blinded in that moment? How could I have ever been so deceived or so confused? See, all of us have these moments in our life in which it seems like we were genuinely deceived in that situation or that moment. So we ask ourselves these questions: how could I have been so deceived? Why couldn't I see it? And here's what's amazing. The scripture, and Ben brought this out last week, but the scripture helps us answer that question, that moment of deception or those moments of deceptions that we have. We actually looked at some passages last week where Jesus directly talks about this issue in the book of John, where Jesus tells us what he thinks about this unseen world. He kind of gives you his insight. And if you were here last week, here's what Jesus believed, okay? Jesus believed that there really is a devil. There really is a devil, and he said that the devil is a murderer, all right? And his basic goal was deception. It was deception. He also kind of gave him some other names. He called him a liar. He called him the father of lies, all right? And in essence, he's the master twister of things, and he twists things in our lives just enough to get us off track, all right, without exposing the fact that he's a real personality. Do you understand what I'm saying? You tracking with me? Okay. So there's a devil, Jesus said. There's a real evil. There's a devil that leads you, not makes you. All right, key words there. So many of it, the devil made me do it. No. The greatest gift that God gave to you outside of salvation was free will and free choice, okay? He leads you, he doesn't make you, to do some of the fascinatingly strange things that you tend to do in your life. You look back and you're like, ah. And for some of us, when I kind of present that idea, we're kind of like, that's weird. That's strange, you know? That's kind of out there. But according to Jesus, it's truth. There's a real identity out there known as the devil. So today, here's what we're going to do. Ben set it up with this unseen world and seen world and how it affects. So today, next week, and the week after that, we're going to look at three of the bigger twists. There's many more, but three of the twists that have kind of gotten us as a culture really twisted. And consequently, it's confused many of us in our decision making. All right, in our relationships and in the way that we think about morality and ethics. And today's particular twist is this, all right? And you, when I tell you this, you're going to be like, my kids should be in here. Well, they're going to hear it, all right? Because they're doing the same series over there in CY, this entire series, all right? And now you guys can go and talk about the same stuff that we talked about in here. It's called a win the dinner table conversation that they're doing right there. So here's the twist. Now, before you also say, my kids should hear this, you need to hear this too, okay? All right? The twist today that we have issues with is called the twist of authority. The twist of authority. All right? Now, let me unpack that for you just a little bit so you understand what I'm talking about. For all of us, I don't know when it happened, around the age of 12 or 13 years old, all right? For all of us, this was kind of our thinking at some point in time. Rebellion equals freedom. Rebellion equals freedom. It just made sense to us, and the best way for us to kind of break free or get free from what the stronghold that our moms and dads had on us, the rules, it was to rebel against the rules. That was what freedom meant, to ignore the rules. And as long as I was keeping the rules, then basically I wasn't free. So rebellion equaled freedom. However, now as we've grown up as adults, we realize now that rebelling doesn't always equal freedom, does it? Because we know that prisons are full of people who have rebelled and they've lost their freedom. So we know this. We're too smart for that. But here's still where the insidious twist lies for us in adulthood, all right? And the adult version of this twist goes like this. Ready? If I disagree with a rule, then I'll just ignore it. If I disagree with a rule, then I'm okay with disobeying it. If I disagree with a rule, I'm just going to disregard it. It's the same twist as rebellion equals freedom. You've just twisted it around or fallen for the twist to phrase it however you want to phrase it today. So have I. So we may say something like this and kind of how it works. Ready? I'm still going to be free and I'm still going to do what I want to do. So instead of just dismissing all authority, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it one rule at a time. One rule at a time. One law at a time. And if I don't like the rule, I think it's too extreme, too redundant, I think it's irrelevant and I've kind of outgrown that rule, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it one rule at a time. I'm going to evaluate that rule, and then I'm going to decide whether I agree or I disagree with the rule. And if I disagree, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to disregard the rule altogether. Now, let me help you understand what that looks like so you all are realizing what we're talking about here. Ready? Every day when I come to Maricopa from Tortosa, which is another town out there, all right? There's many a times that I don't think the speed limit should be 45 there. Now, you know where I'm going with this, right? So because I don't think it should be 45 and no one's following me, no one's coming, I'm just going to go 50, right? Why in the world is the speed limit from here to Casa Grande 50? Is that what it is? Right? I don't get it. Exactly. Exactly. We don't get it. Right? Better yet, let me just touch everybody's nerve today. I don't think I necessarily need to move over from the left lane on 347 and move to the right lane. Now, listen. You all know I joke about this all the time. This is a serious pet peeve. But let me shed some truth and light on this. I don't think I need to move over from the left lane over to the right lane, regardless of the 4 to 5 signs that I pass on the way that say, slow drivers move to the right. Do you want me to keep giving you some examples? You're getting what I'm saying right now, right? You're understanding what we all do. We take it rule by rule, right? We all tend to evaluate the authority rule by rule. And if we don't like it or don't agree with it, we disregard it. Now, if you're like me, all right, I'm not completely against all authority. I'm not. I'm sort of for authority, especially when I'm in authority. Right? I love being the head of my house, right? And I know what the Bible says about the husband is the head of the house. And since Ginger was kind of raised in a household where the wife submitted to the husband, and I get to be the husband, I like authority, right? The same thing for your kids. You're saying the same thing. I'm the dad. I'm the mom. You like it, right? I love the police. I love to be able to call them in my time of need. I just want to see their red and blue lights ahead of me, not behind me. Can I get an amen? So if you're like me, you're kind of for authority in a way. But here's where the twist comes in. Somewhere along the line, as early as the Garden of Eden, the twist is this. When it comes to authority, when it comes to rules, our first and our kind of most proper response is to evaluate. Listen, if you're a note taker, you want to write this down. It's to evaluate the what. The what? Meaning, what is it that I'm being asked to do? What am I being required to do, right? Whenever my parents say something, or my boss says something, or the government says something, or the educational system says something, right? Whatever arena that I'm in, it's about the what. That's our first line of response with the authority. And because of this twist, it's to evaluate the what. And here's the twist, ready? If I disagree with the what, especially if I can disregard the what without consequences, no brainer, then I'm going to disregard it altogether. For example, if I think it's the wrong speed limit, I'm just going to disregard it. If I think that the policy handbook with my company is just a little too out of bounds and it needs to be updated, it's a little too antiquated, right? And especially if I don't see other people following the same rules in the policy handbook, are you kidding me? I'm just going to disregard it. I'm just going to disregard it. And here's the kicker. We don't even feel guilty about it anymore. It doesn't even seem to bother us or make a mark on our conscience anymore, because we evaluated it and we decided that's just a stupid rule. And because I think it's a dumb rule and I'm not going to obey it, if it doesn't bother me, then I have the tendency in the way that I'm oriented because of the twist, right? We look at the rules and the authority, and our first line of response is always, let's evaluate the what first. And what does it say? What is it asking me to do? And if I don't agree with it, and especially if I can get by with it, then yeah, baby, I'm free. I'm free. And it doesn't even bother us a bit. Serious. When's the last time that you drove 45 in a 40 or 50 in a 45 and you got home and you repented before God Almighty because you drove 5 miles over? Right? Gosh, this is crazy. If I think I'm gonna get into trouble, I may adhere to it, but I'll never agree with it. Do you realize how twisted that sounds when we put it that way? Think about this. Deeper thought process. Now, not surprisingly, when you open up the Bible, we see a little different paradigm about this idea. And here's where we're going to begin to untwist the twist for you today, okay? Please don't miss this. If you're a note taker, I think it's on the screens, you want to write this down. The twist says that when it comes to authority and rules, as I just said, it's all about the what. But here's what God says. I'm going to just give it to you up front, all right? Here's what God says. No, 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 no. It's not about the what. It's about the who. It's about the who. Okay, now let me unpack that for you. Let me show you why this is true. If you got your Bibles, you want to turn there. Romans chapter 13 is where you want to go. Romans chapter 13. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Just a little bit of background about this particular passage. What gives the words that I'm about to read to you credibility is not just the fact that they're in the Bible, which should be enough, all right? But more importantly, the context in which these words were written. So let me help you understand the context. The book of Romans is a letter, and it was written to Christians where? Gosh, you're all smart Bible scholars out there today. It was written to Rome, right? Christians in Rome. Those were written to Christians in Rome also in the first century. And what you need to get this is this, all right, the context. Living as a Christian in Rome in the first century is not a very good place to live, all right? It just wasn't. We've shared this before, but your history books will even take you back to this. There was an emperor in Rome at that time by the name of Nero. You probably heard of him before. Nero and Christians just were not a good mix whatsoever. He burnt the city of Rome eventually in the end, and he blamed it on Christians. He burnt Christians at the stake alive. He fed them to the lions. Nero was a terrible pagan emperor, brutal and ruthless. To say that he was a maniac would actually be giving him a compliment. All right? So get the context. It was Nero who was in charge of the government in which these Christians who are about to read this letter from Paul were under his authority. All right? So just understand this. And here's what Paul does. Paul writes to them about authority. And it's going to blow your mind. Because you all think it's horrible and tremendously outrageous and crazy. The world's going to end because some election last week or the week before. All this stuff. Guys, we're not losing our lives because of our faith yet, okay? These people were. Just so you know. And here's what Paul says, ready? Romans 13, 1. He says, everyone, so in context, that's us too. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Readers got to be thinking, say what, Paul? Quick time out here. Do you mean that we're supposed to look at every rule by rule and then evaluate the rule at a time, one at a time? I mean, how can you even make this blanket statement, Paul, about this idea that you need to submit to the ruling authority? Come on, Paul. Are you kidding me? Do you even know what the rules are here in Rome? You're saying this, and you don't know, I don't think you understand this. And Paul's kind of like, no, okay? There's a shift. See, you think it's all about the individual law and rule, but I'm telling you, this is not about what, it's about who. So he goes on and he says this, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, even in today's times and context, this is a point in which we're like, I don't know if that's very relevant. And we would like to rip this out. But can you imagine the reader of this? The Christian reader living in Rome under Nero's reign, his authority, and they're hearing this. They got to be thinking, you are crazy, man. You don't even understand this. You must be talking about submitting to some religious authority, a rabbi, priest, preacher, whatever. But you're not. Say what again, Paul? What are you talking about? So Paul's like, I get it. Let me repeat it again. And he says, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, some of you that are here today, that's all you need to hear today. And you may need to go home and change your Facebook status for a little bit. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, I'm going to unpack this for you, but that is profound. All right? Because we don't think that way. And why don't we think that way? Because we've fallen for the twist. We've fallen for the twist. Here's Paul's major point and major principle in the scripture about authority. If you're a note taker, you want to write this down. Ready? This may blow your mind, but this is biblical. God always, always, always works through human authority. No amens? Gosh, you guys are a hard crowd today. All right. God always works. And some of you are thinking out there like, what does that exactly mean? That means good human authority, bad human authority. Ready? Righteous human authority, unrighteous human authority. Believing human authority, unbelieving human authority. God always works through human authority, period. It's how he rolls. So Paul, in essence, says this, look, it's not about the what, it's about the who. And that's because God exercises his will and his authority through human authorities that he has allowed and he has established. Remember that one in light of our world today. Remember that one. So here's how we generally respond to that, right? And we're sitting here thinking, this is kind of crazy in this moment, because we're thinking, if that's what it is and that's the idea, that's kind of scary, Josh. Paul, I don't know if Paul exactly knows what he's talking about. If that's what he means, that God works through human authority, that kind of changes the rules. Because that's like saying this, Josh, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, if God established them, then that means that if I disobey my parents, for all you teenagers that are in here today, or if I do something that my companies ask me not to do, or I do things that aren't right by the government, then the implication that Paul is saying is this. The implication is that to kind of rebel and disregard the rules is kind of like disregarding and rebelling against God. This is changing the rules a little bit, isn't it? It's kind of like now we're making this authority thing a spiritual thing. You're making me breaking the speed limit a spiritual issue. You're making my tax returns, Josh, a spiritual issue. You're making me disobeying my parents a spiritual issue. And that's not what you're saying, is it, Josh? Is that what Paul was really saying, Josh? Let's keep reading. I'll show you. Romans 13:2. Consequently, Paul says, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Wait, what? What? So here's what that means, celebrators. For you to say that you're not going to do something because some authority has placed some rule in your life and you think it's irrelevant, Paul would say on behalf of God, big fat time out, brother, sister, Christ. You're being deceived. You're falling for the very first twist, the first twist that started back in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent said to Adam and Eve, whoa, time out. Hold on just a minute, Adam, Eve. Let's talk about this. Let's evaluate this whole eat from the tree thing that God said. Let's not worry about the who, and let's talk for a second about the what. Does this even make sense to you, Adam? Eve, how about you? Does this even make sense that we're not supposed to eat from that tree? All right, so now that you've thought about the what, let's examine this rule by rule here forward, okay? Because it doesn't make much sense. So here's the thing. Because you've examined the what, and it doesn't make much sense, and you don't necessarily agree with it, go ahead and eat. Because it's not about the who, it's about the what. Are you tracking with me, COC? Got a lot of blank stares. I can't see you anyway because the Damascus light is upon me. So Paul says, no. You're twisted. You think it's about what you're being asked to do. It's more about who is asking. Ooh. Let's keep reading. As if we haven't read enough so far, right? Romans 13:3, it says this. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. Now listen to this next verse. For the one who is in authority, this is going to blow your minds. This is just freaking amazing. For the one who is in authority is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. Be very, very afraid. For he who does not bear the sword for nothing, don't miss this, he is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Now here's the big eye-opener with this particular thought. Take this for example. Your boss. You know what? Your boss, right? Who's like so non-religious, it's not even funny. You know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't hear any amens from my staff right now. All right? According to this passage, you know your boss? He's God's servant. He's God's agent in your life. And now you're thinking, not my boss. Yeah, your boss. And guess what? It doesn't even bother God that he's your boss. Because, just to remind you, God works through human authority. It's how he rolls. And the same goes for, you name it, your parents who don't know Jesus. Yeah, God's servant. Your teachers, God's servant. The police, God's servant, right? Our government, God's servant. God works through human authority, period. And this is where some of us are like, oh man, I don't know about this. I've never heard this before. Why haven't I heard this before? It's the twist. It's the twist. And now we're all thinking, I don't even know if I believe that, Josh. Of course you don't believe that. Why would you believe that? Because you're living in a world that's been deceived. It's all about the what? It's the twist. It's the twist. Please, I don't know. If you get anything that we say today, you got to get this point. God works through human authority, period. And listen to this, your attitude toward your human authorities is a direct reflection of your attitude towards your Father in heaven. That one hurt, didn't it? Your attitude and your response towards human authorities, godly human authorities, ungodly human authorities, righteous human authorities, unrighteous human authorities, godly political figures, ungodly political figures. Your attitude towards them is a direct response to your attitude in response to your Father in heaven. What? What is going on? Because when we put it like that, some of us are like, I don't know about this. Because if that's true, then that means, and this means, and that means, and this means, and that means. And if that's not good enough for you, Paul keeps going. And he says in Romans 13:5, therefore, it is necessary, it's not a suggestion, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but, and Paul takes us right here to the next level. Paul says this, but also because of conscience. You know what that means? That means this. In other words, it's just the right thing to do, people. It's just the right thing to do. So what Paul is saying in this moment, in this instance, he's saying, look, if you're really going to be a Christ follower, then come on, man. You're smarter than this. This isn't about keeping the rules because you know you won't be caught, right? All right? This is a matter of conscience, because ultimately, he says, you're not just accountable to your parents, to your boss, to your teachers, to our government. You're accountable to God. And he placed you under all of those authorities. This is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And now's a good time for me to remind you. He's writing this to Roman Christians or Jewish Christians who are living in Rome under Nero. the worst pagan Roman emperor pretty much known to all Christians in the first century. This is who he's writing this to, because we're out there and we're like, I know. And you're that way. Can you imagine the readers? And Paul gives one final application to all of us and all of this, and it kind of makes it worse because it bothers us all, because now he's going to talk about taxes. Who likes taxes? They didn't like taxes then either. And he says this, it's kind of like just a little jab, and he says, this is why you pay your taxes. For the authorities are God's servant. And now the readers are thinking, Paul, are you kidding me? They're Romans, dude. Seriously, you don't even live here, bro. You don't even know what the tax structure's like here. You gotta be kidding. This is all a joke, right, Paul? This is all a joke. You're gonna, you know, something's gonna happen here in a minute. It's gonna come out, and this threw his readers into a tizzy. And get the context of what Paul's saying right here with that particular thought. He said, hey, listen, Christians in Rome. Hey, go ahead and put yourself there. Hey, Christians in Maricopa. Hey, Christians in Arizona. Hey, Christians in the United States of America. Listen to me. This is why you pay your taxes. He's just kind of like getting on your level here. This is why you pay your taxes. Now, just hear me out before you go cray cray, all right? This is what he says. You pay taxes not because the taxes are just. You pay taxes because the government you're living under the authority of, it was established by God. And if you cheat the government, you're cheating God. Put that into context with whatever it is. If you're cheating your job, you're cheating God. If you're cheating your parents, you're cheating God. Think about the magnitude of this. This is also new and mind-blowing to all of us. We're like, what are you saying? This is nuts. This is extreme. It's called a twist. It's called a twist. And this is where some of you out there, you're hard-headed. I know who you are. And you're saying, okay, Josh, let me get this straight. Are you saying that I should never, ever, ever, ever question authority? Listen to my answer. Listen to my answer. It's very important. Ready? You have every right to question authority. But you better be very careful when you do. Listen. Because if you do it enough, you'll fall for the twist. Over and over and over. Which is this. Every time I question authority, but I still feel empowered to ignore the authority, then I'm in grave, grave, grave danger of disobeying God. Because I'm making it about the what, and I'm disregarding the who. This is where the real problem is, guys. You're more tempted to fall for the twist every time that you question authority. And all of us, oh gosh, how many times? We question authority all the time. It's just in us. It's just in us. But every time that you do this, you're falling for the twist. Once you question the what, more times than not, you'll almost feel compelled, almost feel this moral obligation to rebel. You've fallen for the twist. Bottom line is this, friends. God works through human authorities. And there's numerous examples all throughout the scriptures. To name a few, Jesus, Paul, Daniel, and let me remind you, all of them submitted to very bad authority in their lives. Very bad authorities, no matter what they submitted. And it's worth noting that their authority was abusive and it worked outside the law. But you know what they did when they questioned? They just appealed to the next level of authority. But they always stayed under authority. So sure, you can question, but when and if you do, you better still stay under the authority that's over you or you'll fall for the twist. Appeal to your heart's content, but stay under authority. And if the legal authority doesn't work for you, then appeal to even higher authority. That would be God. Now, this is where, oh, this is my out. If the legal authority doesn't work that I've appealed to, then I'll appeal to God, all right? Here's the key word, ready? When you appeal to higher authority, which is the ultimate authority, God, perhaps, that's the key word, write that down. Perhaps God will intervene on your behalf. We don't know. But if he doesn't, don't you rebel. Don't rebel, because that's dangerous, dangerous territory. Now, with that in mind, here's what we got to think long and hard about today. If you're living with a twist in regards to some authority in your life or some multiple forms of authority, ready? And you're thinking this with that particular area in your life. If I disagree with it, I can just disobey. Here's where the rubber meets the road today for you, wherever you're at. The question is this: what are you going to do now when you disagree with some of this or that of what the Bible teaches, in particular with authority? What are you going to do with it? Now, here's the sad reality. The sad reality is this. I can already tell you what the majority of the people in this room will do. So here, that's kind of a slam in your face, so prove me wrong. Okay? If you're living with some sort of a twist towards authority, that you just disagree with it, and therefore you can disobey, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go home. You're going to think about this message a little bit. You're going to let it sink in. You might even go back and read Romans a little bit more and just like, I think he took that out of context somewhere. You're going to go, right? You look at those areas in your life that you may be falling for a twist, and you're very likely, here's what you're going to do. Ready? Here's your reaction to this. You're going to go ahead and just keep doing what you're doing. You're going to disregard a rule. Huh. Interesting. You're going to keep questioning the what and ignoring the who. And that's because this is a hard one. This is a hard one, and chances are that twist that you're having troubles with, it's got a stronghold on you and in your life. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. You don't have to keep falling for the twist. You don't have to do that. You actually can do something about it. But here's the deal. Stop looking at people around you and thinking they need to make the change, and you start making the change yourself. You start doing it. So let me talk to moms and dads real quick. Ready? Moms and dads. You consider your twist, whatever it is, your authority thing that you've kind of been caught, you know, talking about and your kids are hearing about. Ready? Here's what you need to remember. Your kids are watching and listening to your every move. And they are taking their lead and their next step, and you're shaping their future based on your actions. So what are you teaching them when you complain about who got elected and who didn't get elected? About why this is happening, why that's happening? What are you teaching them? What are you teaching them? How is it that you want them to obey you so you can instill this authority thing in their lives, but you can live however you want and say whatever you want and disregard every rule that you don't agree with? Why can you keep questioning the what and ignoring the who? What makes you so special? Moms and dads, I'm here to tell you straightforward, the change starts with you. The change starts with you. And one of the best principles that you could ever, ever, ever teach your children, we've said this before in parenting series, but it's this: God always works through human authority, period. Regardless of what their name is, what they look like, or what anything is telling you about them, God works through them. He does. It's how he rolls. And when you willingly choose to disobey this or that because you don't agree with it, you're not only disobeying the authority that God has placed in your life, you're disobeying God. So stop falling for the twist in your life. Young adults out there, teenagers, students, college students, young adults, here's what I want you to hear. You're just kind of starting out at life right now, okay? You don't know what God is up to in your life. You think you do. You don't. All right? You have no real clue or idea as to how God wants to use the good and the bad authorities in your life. You don't know that because Remember what we said. That's how he rolls. He uses both. All right? And he uses both to set you up for the direction that he has planned for you in your life. So you don't really understand what his plan is for you just yet to set you up for success. But you're griping and you're complaining an awful lot. You're revolting, you're rebelling, you're protesting an awful lot because you're following the lead of your mom and dad. I get that, okay? So listen to me this morning. Just listen to me if you're out there. And actually, this is not just for young people. Adults could hear this as well. There was a song written by a Christian artist several years back by the name of Aaron Schuster. And he started out with these words, and these words are so powerful. Listen to these, okay? He said, I am not skilled to understand. Catch this. What God has willed, what God has planned. And here's the truth that you need to hear today. Young people, really pay attention, but everybody pay attention. God works through human authority. And because you don't always understand what God is up to, you should be literally scared to death. You should. To get out from underneath the authorities that God has established for you. That should freak you out to abandon those authorities, good or bad. For fear that you may actually be accidentally thwarting what God has planned for you. Should freak you out. Case in point, ready? Let me prove that whole point. If you had shown up back in the days of the nation of Israel when they were in captivity in Egypt, y'all know the story. When the Egyptian taskmasters were forcing the nation of Israel to build idols and temples and pyramids to false gods. They were forcing God's people to build images to false gods. If you had shown up back in that day and age, here's what you probably would have said to God. God, this is what we'd say today. I know that. That's why I know what we'd say back then. God, your people, they don't need to obey these Egyptian taskmasters. What are you doing? They're not godly authorities. They don't even recognize you as God. Your people need to rise up and they need to free themselves. I mean, come on, God, do something. These are your people. And here's what God would say to you. It's what God would say to you. I am doing something. You're like, what are you doing? What, I can't see this. He says, I'm building a nation. So shut up. So God. Okay? And then you would think back because you have the history of Scripture and you'd say, oh, I never thought of it like that. I guess I'm not skilled to understand what God has willed or planned. You want a little more proof? I'll give you a little more proof. How about this one? If you had shown up at the time in which Jesus was on trial for the death of his life, here's what you would have said. You would have said, God, you got to do something. You got to do something. This is unfair. It's totally unjust. Your son, Jesus, is about to die for something that he never, ever did. And these Pharisees, they've abdicated their religious authority because they've gone outside of their boundaries. And they're actually hiring people to lie about him. And they're the religious authorities. And he's being subjected now, God, to a Roman governor. And Pilate is freaking out because he doesn't want to disrupt the mob. We know where this is heading. This is not good. Rome, who's he subjected to, they don't even acknowledge you, God. They don't worship you. And your son is now under two extremely ungodly, wicked authorities. You got to do something, God. That's what you'd say. You know what God would say? I'm doing something. And you would say, I can't see it. What exactly are you doing? You know what God would say? I'm saving the world. And you still wouldn't buy that. You would say this. This is what we would do because we do it today. You would say, you mean you're going to use Rome and these lying religious leaders in Jerusalem to accomplish your will and save the world? You know what God would say? Yeah. It's because I'm God. And I work through human authorities, good or bad human authorities. It's how I roll. Mic drop. And then you would say this, huh? I've never thought of it that way. I guess I'm not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Listen to me, celebrators. This twist is powerful. It's powerful. And we've all been taken by it at some point in time in our life. And some of us, we are held in captivity with it today. Do you not, goodness gracious, turn on the television today and watch any news channel and see how the world is falling for this twist? Goodness gracious, people. The world is not coming to an end. It doesn't matter who is our president, who will be our next president. It doesn't matter. The point is this. God works through human authorities, period. So you can trust that he's got everything according to his plan working out. It doesn't matter. And this could go, if Hillary got elected, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This twist is powerful. So the bigger question is this, is what are you going to do about it today in your own life? Here's what I know. If you choose to do what's right, what the Bible says you should do, and you want to attempt at untwisting the twist that's got a stronghold on your life, here's what I know. For some of you out there, you may have some letters and some emails that you need to write to some people in your life. Some of you out there, you got some phone calls that you need to make. Yeah, because you're all freaking out now. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Rubber meets road, right? All of that's been said today from the Word of God, not from Pastor Josh, but from the Word of God, it means nothing if you are just listening to it. You are not called to be a hearer of the word. You're called to be a doer of the word. So that's what I'm talking about right now. Some of you, this is where it really hurts. Some of you, you may have to write some checks. Some of you are going to have to call somebody that you haven't talked to for years. And you're going to have a sit down one-on-one with them. And now you're all freaked out. Like, I don't know. Okay. Keep living in sin. Fall for the twist. Now you're all mad because you're like, you just called me a sinner? Yeah, I called you a sinner. I do it every week. Why are you upset, man? I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Right? I just know if you're a sinner that's saved by grace. I am. But I still don't forget the fact that I'm a sinner. Authority, friends. Your biggest takeaway. Authority is a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. And your response to the rules at work, it's a spiritual issue. The authority in your home, spiritual issue. Authority versus government, spiritual issue. And listen, I'm going to close with this. Your attitude, remember, your attitude and your response to the authorities that you can see, your response and attitude towards the authorities that you can see, it's a direct reflection of your attitude and response to your Heavenly Father who you can't see. Visible world, invisible world. Friends, stop making it about the what. Start making it about the who. Great place to start today would be just to come, hit your knees at the altar and say, God, what's that step do I need to take? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to make things right with? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thanks. Thanks for today. Thanks for being a great God. Thanks for speaking through the the Word of God today in a powerful way to so many people. I pray that you'd move in someone's life. I pray that somebody would make this right. They'd untwist the twist in their life. They'd understand, I can do something different. I can do something that's right. I know what you've commanded and called me to do. Give me the courage to do it, Jesus. Move in someone's life today. Help them respond. Help them move and do what's next. In your precious and holy, holy Son's name, amen.